minds, sorting through the media bias, exposing the propaganda, and challenging you to use your brain. It's time to tap into the truth.
Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. It is indeed time to tap into the truth. Welcome to today's broadcast. Hope you are having a great day, wherever you are and whatever it is you may be doing. It is Friday, at least at the time of this broadcast. Those of you who catch the podcast later, whether it's right here at Spreaker, or if you catch it at TuneIn, or over at Stitcher.com, or even at iTunes, wherever you're catching this, if you're catching it as podcast, understand, it is Friday afternoon as I'm speaking. All right, I want to start off the show a little bit differently than usual, in so much as I want to send out a special unspoken prayer request. There's a young man that is in desperate need of prayer that I know of. And for those of you who are among the prayer warriors, those of you who are personal friends of mine who are familiar with me and the people that I know and so on and so forth, blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't normally go around asking for prayer requests for folks outside of my family, but if you wouldn't mind sending up an unnamed prayer request, Lord knows who it is, and I would appreciate that. Now, today's broadcast title, A Nation of Laws with a question mark. I don't know if you realize exactly how far down the road we have come from moving away from being a nation of laws. Last time we got together and were talking about things, we were discussing the very unpresidential behavior of the occupier, a.k.a. Mr. Barack Hussein Obama. We were discussing this because not only has there been a complete and total lack of leadership, but also because he is, by definition, being part of an imperial presidency. We see signs left and right over and over again that we have people on the so-called progressive side of the political spectrum that are continuing to chip away. Well, you know, I stand corrected on this. I have been corrected on this. They're no longer chipping away. They have the jackhammer, the sledgehammers. They are completely decimating our Constitution at this point. They want you, the American public, to believe something as simple as the fact that you don't have the right to know what's going on. Why do I say that? Because today, Eleanor Holmes Norton said that very thing. Said that you, while speaking to a Republican, so that you don't have the right to know that everything that's going on behind closed doors at the White House, that's the difference in a separation of powers government. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar, Eleanor Holmes Norton is the non-voting congressional delegate for the District of Columbia. Now, she said this during a congressional hearing today, that the White House should not be held up to scrutiny, saying that there is no right to know what's going on behind closed doors. In fact, quote, "You don't have a right to know everything in a separation of powers government, my friend. That is the difference between a parliamentary government and a separation of powers government." Now, she said this during a House Oversight and Government Reform Committee hearing. Now, You might find the irony here in so much that the Democrats, for the longest time, the more liberal side of the Democrats, have talked desperately, wildly, about the need for openness and transparency, and how that they are a must to prevent abuses of power by government officials. But then again, we were promised that the Obama administration would be the most open and transparent administration of all time. Obviously, as the progressives are so apt to do, somewhere along the line they changed the definition of open and transparent, and the rest of us didn't get that memo. She made her comments today protesting the committee's Republican majority for voting to ignore a claim by the White House that David Simmes, director of the Office of Political Strategy and Outreach, they voted to ignore the claim that he was immune to a congressional subpoena to testify. This supposedly under the Executive Privilege Clause. Now, the Republicans believe that the office is being used as a political campaign operation, which is clearly a violation of federal election laws. Chairman of the committee, Republican from California, Mr. Daryl Issa, noted that he was not alleging any wrongdoing by Simmes, but there was a history of violations involving that particular office in prior administrations that justifies requesting his testimony. So, Mr. Issa, Representative Issa, was saying, hey, look, this office has been used before, and not just by this administration, but by other administrations too. Blanket statement that very well could apply to his own party as well as the other. So what's the problem with the testimony? Now, under the occupier, the White House has asserted sweeping executive powers, including the right to ignore pretty much all congressional inquiries, requests, and needs of testimony, requirements for papers, and dare I say, emails that disappear. But the White House has directly used executive privilege to ignore such requests and subpoenas in the past. Now, Holmes was clearly all right with that. She called ISIS subpoena a, quote, showcase fishing expedition. And she went on to argue that the Constitution's separations of powers specifically gives the people who work directly under the chief executive immunity from subpoenas. Now, that's not exactly the case, just FYI. But the president's immediate advisor is not an agency, and this is not a matter of policy, she said. So before going any further to clarify, she said that we, quote, don't have a right to know everything that the administration does. Now, Representative Elijah Cummings, Democrat from Maryland, and the top-ranking Democrat on the Oversight Committee, thanked Holmes for her comments. And, in fact, was also quoted as saying, quote, I associate myself with your comments. Therefore, making it very clear that he doesn't believe the public has a right to know what is going on inside the White House. Now, these very same people firmly believe that everybody had a right to know what was going on in the White House when W was in office, when W's father was in office. In fact, there were screams of lack of openness and lack of transparency when Ronald Reagan was in the White House. Ultimately, this is a case, just like in several others, where the rule of law is not a factor in the minds of these people. What is a factor is what it is they need to protect. Who it is they need to protect. What ideology they need you, the American people, us, we the people, not to know what they're up to. Because under this most open and transparent administration in history, we have had more things classified. We've had more things put under executive privilege, some of which involving Fast and Furious seriously needs to be looked at, because there's a conflict in the very testimony, not that anyone's surprised by this, from Mr. Occupier, a.k.a. Barry Obama himself. Because if, as Obama claims, he knew nothing about Fast and Furious before it was brought to his attention, then there couldn't possibly have been the types of briefings and documentation as part of the advisory capacity of the Justice Department to have taken place. It just couldn't have happened if that was the first he heard about it. So if it hadn't happened, then it is not subject to executive privilege. It is not protected. So certain people expect it to go both ways. Actually, let's face facts. The bottom line here is this is not a Democrat issue. This isn't a progressive issue. Whoever's in power, really, they want it both ways. Everybody. I'm guilty of it myself. So, you know, I'm gonna stand back and I'm going to make sure that I'm clear on this. There are lots of times that everybody wants things exactly their way. They want it both ways. They want their business the way they want it. And I'm just as guilty of this as anyone else. So I'm not excluding myself. So understand that. But when it comes to governing this nation, you don't have the luxury of having it both ways. It needs to be the Constitution and the laws that have been passed that are deemed to be constitutional. Where is that simple concept? Where is it went to? Why is it that someone so obviously liberal as Miss Eleanor Holmes Norton is willing to stand up now and say, we don't have a right in a separation of powers government? Now, you're talking about an oversight committee. The House and the Senate do have oversight authority over everything the government does. The problem is our government does way too many things that it's not supposed to be doing in this wonderfully modern age. The Constitution continues to be ignored and ripped apart piece by piece, chunk by chunk, brick by brick. We fail to understand, though, that ultimately this responsibility, it's ours. It's not Barack Obama's fault that he's able to get away with this crap. It's not John Boehner's fault that he gets to sit back and say, you know what, we're going to try to sue you, but we're not going to make any attempt to impeach you, even though at this point, a majority of Americans now believe he should be impeached. According to several polls I've come across, and I know you've heard about them. I'm not going to go over all of them. I'm not going to sit here and pull them up. Those specifics I usually save for the Sunday show. And we can do that if anybody sends me a message and says, hey, let's go over that. But, 54%, according to a poll that came out today, believe that Obama should be impeached. Now again, based on how these poll questions are asked, you can manipulate them to get whatever results you want. So, you know, let's forget about the polls, and let's just look at what the responsibilities are for a member of the House of Representatives when it comes to impeaching the President of the United States. You have to be concerned that there is reasonable doubt that high crimes and misdemeanors, well, high crimes or misdemeanors have been performed. Treason is also mentioned. You know, I'm not talking about treason right now, because while there are certainly a ton of people that believe he has committed treason against this nation when it comes to his dealings with the Muslim Brotherhood, when it comes to his dealings with the southern border, when it comes to his dealings with the rest of the world, point blank, the way he snubs our allies and helps our enemies, there's a ton of people that believe treason has occurred, and I'm certainly not going to argue against it. I'd say you can make a very compelling and a very strong argument that it's true. I myself feel like this man is a traitor to this country. But proving that in a fashion that's required to hold up in the Senate for a trial might be difficult. But here's what's not difficult. This lawsuit that the House of Representatives is trying to move forward with are in regards to overstepping legal authority with an excessive amount of executive orders and what these executive orders touch upon. The very fact that you feel it necessary to go to court to deal with these things, where many of them actually show an overreach and a violation of his oath of office, that's grounds for impeachment. It is. That's grounds for impeachment. But we're not going to do that. We are just going to go to court. Now, maybe, and I'm probably being silly here. I understand that. Maybe this is Boehner's way of trying to test the water, see where the court would fall. See if maybe a democratically controlled Senate might possibly be forced to actually hear testimony and then vote based on the evidence presented. It could be that. It really could. You know, and that's me bending over backwards to give Mr. Boehner and his cabal the benefit of the doubt. But based on John Boehner's activities in recent years, I don't hold out very much faith that that's the case. Now, I don't know. I don't know the man's heart. I don't know the man's mind. I can only hope that there are good intentions in there, but we all know the cautionary tales of where the road paved with good intentions happens to lead to. We're far enough down that trail, ladies and gentlemen, and it's time we made a U-turn. It is time that we, as a people, re-embraced a morality. It is time we re-embraced a love of this country. It's a time that we re-embraced what true American exceptionalism is, and that American exceptionalism is based on the fact that we are good people. As a people, we are basically good. We demonstrate that every time. And you're probably tired of hearing me mention this particular example, but every time there's a natural disaster anywhere in the world, who are the first people in line to go help? That would be us. For those of you who might be of the liberal persuasion and wondering where I'm going with that, Americans. When it comes to issues like that, the only disagreement that people on the left and people on the right have is who should be providing that assistance. The people on the right think it should be private sector charity, your churches, your special organizations, your private groups that are built specifically for that purpose. That's what we believe. The folks on the left think that's up to the government. But the only problem with that is, plain and simple, it's an overreach of authority. The federal government doesn't have the authority to do those things under the Constitution, and beyond that, it's not charity if you use the policing power of government to force people to give up their cash. You're going to get a lot less in contributions if it's forced by the government than what you will get otherwise. I mentioned just the last time we were on, because we were talking about the border, considerably a big part of the show last Wednesday. When people see other people in need, we have a tendency to dig into our pockets and pull out probably more than we should because we see someone in worse shape than we are. So it is not a matter. It is not an issue of what kind of people Americans are. Now, you can go across the board. You can find druggies. You can find hardcore criminals that are thieves. You can find liars. You can find what? Yeah, you can find a lot of those just hanging around the beltway that work in politics. But at the end of the day, generally speaking, most American people, as flawed as we, each and every one of us are, we're still basically good. We have good intentions, and we work hard, and we put forth effort to be good. And we do this because somewhere within us it is ingrained. If you are an American, you have somewhere in your DNA that screams out to you that this is who we are as a people. It doesn't matter if you're black or white or Hispanic in origin or any other group. Let's go ahead and throw them out there. I can hear it now. Oh, Tim didn't mention Native Americans. He must hate the American Indians. No, okay. Every different color, creed, ethnicity, however you want to divide us up, because I don't divide people into boxes and groups that way. The only divisions I see in my world, in my country, is the so-called progressives and everybody else. I do have some serious concerns about radical Islam. But I see this as the progressives and everybody else. And the so-called progressives are dangerous because most of these people are the globalists and the eugenicists, the people that, you know, if you try to call out publicly, suddenly you're a conspiracy theorist. Well, guess what? I have a few tinfoil hats, and I'm proud to wear them, because once you've seen certain things for yourself, you can't unsee them. There are threats. There are things that are real that want to destroy this country because they want the resources that are here. And the only way they can take full control is to do away with your individual liberty, your freedoms. I didn't get to read the whole thing, but I saw a piece by Judge Napolitano. And he was basically asking the question, what if the democracy part of our government just, it wasn't real? What if it's all just for show? What if the whole concept here in the United States of one person, one vote was all a facade to get your compliance with whatever's going on? It's a very scary idea. It's a very scary thought, because I know a ton of people that already pretty much believe that that's the case.
We're not going to bother the vote because the votes don't get counted anyway. It doesn't really matter.
And, you know, I have to say that I have my own serious questions, serious doubts about the real outcome of the last presidential election. And you've heard me say this a multitude of times. And it's not based on paranoia. It's not based on not liking the occupier. It's based on the fact that there are a ton of statistical anomalies in individual polling precincts, precincts that turned the tide of the election in key states. These type of statistical anomalies in most places automatically trigger a recount. That didn't happen here. So I have my concern, but I'm not going to go down that track. Even though that's still part of today's theme. What is the rule of law? Are we still a nation of laws? As long as Barack Hussein Obama, Barry, Harold, whatever alias he's going by right now, is picking and choosing which laws he's going to enforce and which laws he's not, as long as he's choosing to ignore the oversight authority in our separation of powers government, then we don't have a nation of laws. We have a nation of personalities. We have a nation of men. We, as Americans, fought a revolutionary war. A war that started as a war of ideas. The idea, the concept, something that had never been tried before, of individual liberty. And we fought that revolution with ideas, and we continue to fight it with actions and protests, demanding equal representation. The initial beginnings of our revolution did not begin as a fight for independence. It began as a fight for equal representation in King George's court. Parliament was not adequately doing its part, fulfilling its role of representing the colonists. That's where the idea began. And it was a revolution of ideas. Arms were not picked up until it was necessary. And thank God that we had a group of men then that were willing to stand up and take an oath on their sacred honor. Take an oath to risk their property and their lives to stand up for those ideas. They deemed the concept of individual liberty to be worth that fight. So why isn't it still worth that fight? What we've seen is literally centuries at this point of the so-called progressives working to try and dumb down the populace and convince everybody that conservatives are bad. People that embrace the Constitution are bad. They're cold-hearted. They're evil people. I'm not calling for the government to close the southern border because I don't have sympathy for the children that are being sent here. Those children, like I am on record as having said already, are victims in this as much as anybody else because they didn't choose to come here. Somebody sent them. And the way they're being treated by our government once they arrive is bad. The fact that we have drug cartels running the coyote trade and laying down suppression fire, shooting at our Border Patrol agents to try and force these people to cross the border under their terms and feel like they still owe the coyotes something. These things are a violation of our law from start to finish. These children, they need help, but they're still victims. They need our help, and then they need to go home. I'm not the only one saying this, I know. But a lot of people are sitting back and saying that nobody on the right is showing any compassion for these kids. That's just not true. Now, we're a little bit past the 30-minute mark. Going to take a quick break, and once we get break, easy for me to say. Once we get back from that break, we'll continue right where we're leaving off. Stay with me, please. Into the truth. Check us out at tapintothetruth.com for our latest blog post and for links to all of our past broadcasts. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. That's Tap Into the Truth right here on Spreaker Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thanks for staying with me. Just a quick reminder, and I like to remind everybody whenever you're hearing this, the bumper music you hear is provided through a service called Magnatunes. It works with independent artists, folks that do not have record deals. And what it does is it allows them to get paid for their work, and it keeps us podcast safe, which means I'm perfectly legit with the music I'm using. But I like using it because I do like the idea of trying to help out these people that are out there on their own, doing the hard work, trying to make a living on their own merit. The individual, the rugged American spirit of doing it on your own. I like it, and I like to support it. All right, at any rate, let's get back to it. Now, we were talking about rule of law. Now, the rule of law has been thrown completely out the window at the southern border, and that's exactly where we're at with this discussion. And we were talking about the southern border quite a bit in the last show, so I don't want to go too much in it, but we were talking about then the complete and total lack of leadership, completely, across the world stage. Rome is burning, and in this case, the entire world is burning. Malaysian plane shot down in Ukraine. Israel, Hamas, southern border, nothing happening. The federal response is, go ahead, come on. Where are the laws? Everybody keeps talking about this comprehensive immigration reform that they want. Well, for crying out loud. You can't have any reform until you close the borders. The first act of compassion, the first act of humanity that we need to do for these children is to close the borders. The message must be sent, no mas. That will slow the level of crisis on our border. But when we have talking heads, which is basically all they've become, these are politicians, these are supposed to be leaders of men, leaders in our nation, people like Harry Reid swearing on national television that our border is secure. Harry Reid, have you seen the border? You are from Nevada, for crying out loud. You can't tell me you don't know any better. But, you know, maybe early onset dementia, I don't know. Maybe he's just that dedicated to the public lie that the progressives are pushing? I don't know. I'd like to think that the man is honestly trying to do what's best for the country and just is completely clueless, but there comes a point where you have to question these things. In fact, I had a thought today. You know, oftentimes, early on in the Obama presidency, I made the statement that, you know, I'm going to try to give the man the benefit of the doubt. I want to believe that the man is just an inexperienced ideologue, and maybe after some time on the job, he'll realize things are different when you govern than they are when you campaign. And then as time went by, I became more and more convinced that, no, there is no way. He doesn't know what's going on. By now, he's had time. He knows. He should know. There's no way he couldn't. But I had the thought today, and I realized, because I made the comment on the last broadcast about how much time he spent on vacation. And it occurs to me, between fundraising and vacation and just being out of the loop, evidently, maybe he still hasn't spent enough time on the job. When has he started to govern? He's always campaigning or fundraising. He's always campaigning or fundraising or on vacation. Because campaigning and fundraising is hard work. But maybe he honestly really hasn't spent enough time on the job to know any better yet. Maybe because he has never took the step to transition from running for the office to governing from the office, aside from seeming to think that he can use his pen and his phone to rule the world, maybe he still just hasn't spent enough time to know the difference. He hasn't had that experience yet. Maybe it is that simple. So again, it's imperative that the House of Representatives begin the impeachment proceedings so that Mr. Occupier can discover that we the people expect our presidents to behave in a presidential fashion. We expect them to honor their oath of office, and we expect them to defend the Constitution and protect the people of this nation in any fashion necessary within reason. This man is not the best choice to have been president. He came from out of nowhere. But there are some people that I want you to keep in mind that, again, also plays to this exact same topic. Rule of law. Are we a nation of laws? Private First Class Morris Walker. Staff Sergeant Clayton Bowen. Staff Sergeant Kurt Curtis. Staff Sergeant Michael Murphy. Private First Class Matthew Martinique. And Second Lieutenant Darren Andrews. Who are these six men, you may wonder? Well, do you remember Beau Burdaugh? Everybody was really, really upset just a few short weeks ago that the Occupier, our fundraiser-in-chief, traded high-level Taliban operatives for the release of Beau Burdaugh. Burdaugh is a man who, at best, is a deserter. And who has actually now been sent back to active duty under executive orders. Now, these actions would lead you to question, okay, was this guy supposed to be running an intel op? But under this administration, I can't believe that would be the case. But the names of the six men I just gave you, who proudly served our military. These were the six men who died looking for Bergdahl when he first walked away from his post. Private First Class Morris Walker. Private First Class Matthew Martinick. Staff Sergeant Kurt Curtis. Staff Sergeant Clayton Bowen. Staff Sergeant Michael Murphy. Second Lieutenant Darren Andrews. These six men served this nation and died looking for this person who is probably a traitor, at the least a deserter. And they lost their lives so that this guy could eventually be returned to active duty. These guys lost their lives so this guy could be used as an excuse to relieve high-level Taliban operatives who have killed Americans. None of them responsible for less than the deaths of 2,000 innocent people of various nationalities. I'm going to take another quick break, and when I come back, we're going to finish things up. Stay with me.
Into the Truth. Check us out at tapintothetruth.com for our latest blog post and for links to all of our past broadcasts. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. That's Tap Into the Truth right here on Spreaker Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thanks for staying with me, and thanks for coming back. We're still talking about being a nation of laws and why so many Americans have lost faith that we are. Came across a new report today. This going around, and it's not the first time I've heard it, but now supposedly a page from the 1991 Harvard Law Review has popped up. Now, this has been hidden from a while, for what my understanding is. And again, this is just being reported. Came across it today. I've heard this accusation before. But it basically says, okay, let me go back a little more. It's a bio, okay? Barack Obama. Barack Obama, the first African-American president of the Harvard Law Review, was born in Kenya and raised in Indonesia and Hawaii. The son of an American anthropologist and a Kenyan finance minister, he attended Columbia University and worked as a financial journalist and editor for Business International Corporation. He served as project coordinator in Harlem for the New York Public Interest Research Group, and was executive director of the Developing Communities Project in Chicago Southside. His commitment to social and racial issues will be evident in his first book, Journeys in Black and White. Now that's the bio. Did you notice It starts out saying that he's born in Kenya. This is where the Nation of Laws question comes in again. And before everybody starts getting wild and crazy and saying, ooh, okay, you're a birther now, I've expressed my concerns about his eligibility in the past, and I think he needs to put it to bed. I do believe that he gave up his citizenship, if he ever had it, in attending public schools, attending the madrasas in Indonesia. To attend the public schools in Indonesia, you're required to be a citizen, which means he would have had to have had his citizenship given up. At that age, it would have been a issue for his mother to have done. But here's the thing. We know that the birth certificate that was eventually released was an obvious fraud. That has been made clear over and over again. It's obvious. The name of the hospital is wrong because they used what the name of the hospital is now instead of what the hospital's name was then. Kenya is named as the place of birth of the father. Kenya was not called Kenya at the time that the birth certificate would have been released. And how would they know that Kenya would be the future name of the home of Barack Obama Sr.? They couldn't. It's an obvious fraud. And that's the only thing that's ever been produced. So why not just release the real thing if you really are a citizen? Why not put this behind you? Well, because it's a great distraction. You get a lot of people on board. And you also introduce people to the idea, to the notion, that it's okay that one of the constitutional requirements for the office of president isn't that important. Now, in my mind, it may simply be as simple as it's obvious that the whole time that Barack, not yet the occupier, attended college receiving financial aid as a foreign student. Most of these records have also been sealed and have been kept from the public, but it's pretty obvious that that is the case, which leads to the very open question of, were you ever a citizen or not? If he was a citizen, why were you receiving foreign aid? The bottom line is, Barack Obama, if he was a citizen, doesn't want this to come out because he doesn't want to have to go back and make restitution. How much money would he have to pay back to these universities that granted him these degrees based on the fact that he received financial aid as a foreign student? How about the fact that the colleges could sue him for fraud? And as a result, actually could, I doubt that these particular universities would do any of these things, but within the realm of possibility, they could decide that he was a student under false pretense. He was guilty of fraud. And as such, they could decide to say, you didn't really earn your degree. If a university can withdraw or nullify any earned degrees because they caught you cheating, or it came to light that you were involved with cheating, they didn't catch you at the time, then they certainly could do the same if you lied about your identity. You were at the university under a false pretense. He may not have qualified, and we know by grades, it certainly didn't seem as if he qualified. He may not have qualified to have been there under any purpose. And if that's the case, maybe this isn't so much about trying to hide the fact that he was supposedly born in Kenya as much as maybe he really was born in Hawaii and he doesn't want to lose the honor and prestige among the universities and the academics that he holds so dear as friends. Maybe he doesn't want to lose the respect of those people by having it proven once and for all that he's simply not who he's claimed to be to a majority of people. But either way, he needs to answer that question. And again, are we a nation of laws? Where are we at, America? Where are we at? We the people. I mentioned in the first 30 minutes of the show that it is ultimately our responsibility. It's not up to John Boehner. John Boehner should take that first step. Harry Reid should take that next step. And the people that we have sent to D.C. to represent us, we the people, should do the right thing. But we can't count on that. But what we can do is pray to God, first of all, that Judge Napolitano's question that he posed earlier this week is not the case, that our democratic process within our constitutional republic is still legitimate, and we need to take the steps to change out those representatives who are not representing us properly, adequately, and put in somebody who will. Now, the perfect time to keep that in mind is right now. The midterm elections are going on. We do have to watch and make sure that elections aren't being stolen and that primaries aren't being stolen like what we saw just recently, Mr. Cochran. We need to make sure that honest to goodness, legitimate candidates like right here in Tennessee, Joe Carr, has a legitimate chance to unseat Lamar Alexander in the Republican primary. And we need to make sure that candidates like Joe Carr and candidates I'm drawing a blank right now. I really ought to know. Like Brenda Leonard. And, of course, I certainly can't forget about my friend Danny Page, that these candidates have a legitimate chance to win these elections. Now, Ms. Leonard is also running in the Republican primary against Lamar. Danny Page was going to run in the primary, and he decided to pull out of the primary and run as an independent. So he's in for the November election. He's in for the midterm election. He's going to be challenging whoever wins that primary. Kind of a second line of defense, so to speak. And I've spent a lot of time talking to him, and I have a great deal of faith that this is somebody that we could trust to do the right thing. I believe the same thing is true of Joe Carr. I believe that we have a lot of good people in other places, too. But while I still have a few minutes left to talk about it going into this, we also have to, as conservatives, stop taking so many swipes at each other because we don't pass a certain percentage of a purity test. We do need to look and see who is really a conservative and who's a rhino. We need to get the rhinos moved to the side. And I am willing to accept, to a certain extent, a moderate conservative who still honors the will of the people in his district ahead of anyone that's going to be an establishment candidate and is only going to be concerned about what's going on with the party. If you are part of the Republican Party and the only thing you care about is Republicans winning and the party gaining power, then you are part of what's wrong with this country. I love the Constitution, and I love the United States of America, and I love the American people. And when I say that, I include everyone. I don't know all of you personally. I don't need to. I know that at the end of the day, we have way more in common than we have different. And it doesn't matter if you can even speak enough English to understand what I'm saying right now. Hopefully somebody will translate it to you and you will understand what I'm saying to you. Every person in the United States that is here legally and legitimately and who is already a citizen or is working to become a citizen the right way, then we all have more in common than we have that separates us. More in common than we have that divides us. So we have got to stop letting these people who want to put us all in these tiny little boxes, we've got to stop letting them win. They can't control the argument. We can't let them. We can't let them control the language, and we can't keep letting them pitting us against one another. We want a better life. We want life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we know, we understand that there are no guarantees of that happiness, but give us the right to pursue it. That's what we need. That's what we fought for in the past. Whether or not we can make it through the next election is based solely on what we decide to do during this election. We need to celebrate our victories. We need to work hard to make America better, but we need to understand that we are part of the solution or we are part of the problem. If we're going to set back and let others tell us what to do, let others keep us divided, then we have no way to win. We have to pull together. Because sadly, we now live in a nation where lawyers destroy justice, where doctors destroy health, where universities destroy knowledge, where the press destroys information, where religion destroys morals, where banks destroy the economy, and worst of all, where our governments, whether federal, state, or local, where our governments destroy freedom. And the question now is, what are we going to do about it? Because yes, alone, there isn't much that we can do. But together as we the people, we can change the whole world. Because we've done it before. I choose to be a nation of laws. Obamacare is in trouble right now because of a set of competing court rulings. Obama decided, discard the law. We're going to give you these tax credits, even if you bought it in federal exchanges, even though the law says you can't get the tax credit as part of an exchange. And then you have these people arguing about what's the intent of the law? What's the intent of the law? It doesn't matter what the intent of the law is. The law was written specifically in a certain fashion. So if you want to fix what's wrong with it, you do that legally. You don't ignore what's wrong with it. I choose to be a nation of laws. And I hope that each and every one of you will choose with me that same thing. We have to hold these people accountable. We have to start it at the ballot box. And we have to once again have a new counter-revolution of ideas. And I say counter-revolution because the progressives have been working very hard on their revolution, overthrowing our Constitution. Each and every time I use the phrase American exceptionalism, I hear them shrieking from the pain. It's like throwing holy water on something evil. Because they don't believe in American exceptionalism. They think that American exceptionalism means that we're arrogant. No. It means we are good-hearted people with the soul, and unlike the rest of the world, we have a strong desire for freedom and individual liberty. So that's it. But let me tell you this much right now. Don't take my word for it. Definitely don't take their word for it. Take a little time, do your own research, and be prepared to put in some effort if you really want to tap into the truth. That's it. Good night, everybody. We'll be back again soon.
soul.